Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Regardless of when you're listening, I'm glad you're here. I am Neon. Thank you so much for tuning into this little AMAA that I've been doing in regards to eclipsing 700 followers. Well, almost 800 followers now, which is insane. 800 of you. Thank you so much to the almost 800 of you who listened to something I recorded and decided that I was somebody worthy of following. I can't tell you how mind-blowing that is already. Like, when I first started, I don't know what I expected, but I am so grateful for all of your support. Thank you so much for everyone who has left a comment. You've updated it, you've shared it. I'm so grateful for all of that support because honestly, that's a large reason why I do this. So this week I started the AMA on Monday. I put up the anonymous or not anonymous a submission form, and that was, I was at 701 followers, and now it's Saturday and I have almost 800 followers. So somewhere along the way this week I've picked up almost 100 of you, and I am so grateful for that. Sometimes I'll get a slew of followers and honestly I almost want to message people and be like, where did you see this? Like, did someone share this? Like, where did it get shared to, or who told you? You know what I mean? So I don't know. Sometimes I like making up fun concepts of like how people found me. But anyways, thank you. I guess that's what it really comes down to, is thank you. I love making content and I'm so humbled that you enjoy it as well. So I hope that I continue to make content that you guys enjoy, and I'm always willing to take feedback as long as you're nice about it. So I figure I'll start with the anonymous questions first, and then I'll get to the specific questions from specific people later. I will use explicit language in this, so if you are looking for a PG-13 version, this is not it. I layered in some music, so it'll be more of an enjoyable experience for you, and I've got my coffee. And I apologize, I've had really bad allergies the last couple of days, so if I sound like my voice is a little rough, it is. So get comfortable and hang out with me while I tell you a little bit about myself. So the first anonymous question is, what made you get into GWA, and is it as exciting for me to record as it is for you to listen? So when I first started this, I was mostly curious, so it was mainly a curiosity, and I didn't really acknowledge that audio porn was really a thing before I found GWA. I mean, I should have known better, honestly, considering what I enjoy, but I never really looked for it until I decided to get into it, and I guess that's sometimes just how it goes. So when I first started this, I wasn't expecting anything, like I said. It was just a burning curiosity to see if I could do something like this, and on top of that, see if I could do it well enough to enjoy continuing to do it. Trying new things is scary, especially when it comes to new things sexually, and this really wasn't any different. It's just me and a microphone, and who knows who will listen. Once I got over the initial sheepishness of what I was doing, it was kind of like a whole road opened up in front of me. I could do anything. I could try anything. And that's really why I like doing it. As far as the second part of this question, the simple answer is yes. A lot of the time, it's as exciting for me to record as it is for you to listen to. Oftentimes, if the content is really stimulating, I will usually have to take a break from recording to get off before I can think clearly and keep going with recording. I know that sometimes when I'm recording, I get hazy because I'm just, you know, pent up, or it's been a while since I've gotten off, and I start fucking up the lines really bad, and that's when I know that I need to stop, get off, and then go back and focus up. And that's usually a good sign that I'm, like, really horny. I strive for as much authenticity as I can while maintaining the standards that I set for myself, which sounds really crazy considering it's porn, but I take it seriously. So when I'm moaning, chances are that I'm doing something to myself to cause it. Short of actually fucking myself, I do interact with myself as much as I can while maintaining a level head. Next question is, do I prefer safe for work audios or not safe for work audios? This is a good question, and it's multi-layered for me. It's not really as black and white as I would like to say, but I do enjoy safe for work audios for the ability to try something new. The storylines are a lot more varied, and a lot of the times the acting in those require a much more diverse necessity. It needs a different level of myself, and I really like that. For example, I did a horror script by Nova Alpha Papa just prior to Halloween, and I loved it. I loved the way the script was written. I loved the flow of it. It was just so different and so fun to try and be this convincing, well-mannered doctor who is actually inviting the reporter, who is the listener, over for dinner so she could eat them. The level of immersion for that one was so important for me to nail properly as an artist, and I really enjoyed working on it a lot. It's also been upvoted the least, which could honestly be for any host of reasons. Maybe a lot of people feel like I don't play a convincing cannibal, which I guess might be a compliment. Maybe most people aren't into horror scripts, which is also fine. I'm not into horror movies as a genre. For the most part, there are a couple of exceptions, but you know, that could also be a part of why that one is upvoted the least. Who knows? I could maybe myself into the ground about it, but it doesn't bother me. Respectfully, I know that not everything I do will be bangers, and that's okay. It was something that I enjoyed doing, but it's just interesting to see what gains traction and what doesn't. On the flip side of that, I love recording not safe for work audios because it allows me the sexual freedom to do or be anything I want to be. Whether or not I'm successful is another story. Like, today I want to be a slime girl, tomorrow I want to be a dom, the next day I want to be a sub. The ability to shapeshift into these different roles is exciting and enticing. Like a never-ending buffet and I'm always hungry, which I guess is really, really accurate. I'm a cosplayer outside of making content, and I always loved the ability to become anyone I wanted, and this kind of plays into that. Do I have any favorite GWA posters? Boy, do I. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I know I'll be outing myself as a fangirl for this, but I guess I'm all right with it. Not that most of these posters don't already know that I'm a hard fangirl for them, but professionally, respectfully fangirling, I guess... I take fangirling very seriously because I know that I have the ability to be respectful and also be thirsty because I'm an adult, and I recognize that these VAs are also adults who are making content like I am. So when I leave comments, I try and be specific because I know feedback is important to me as a performer and as an artist, and I'm taking a hard gamble that they feel the same way, but I always do it. I always like leaving longer comments. Mostly because some of these VAs don't accept messages, and that's completely okay. I don't blame them considering the type of messages I get sometimes. But it's a way for me to communicate that something they did was effective. And it's easy to tell somebody that their audio is hot. They already know it is, but I like being specific as to why. So... my list for male VAs is a lot longer than my list for female VAs, because that's what I gravitate towards. But I'll give you the top performers that come to mind for both. This is not an all-inclusive list. The list will go on. Honestly, I could make a whole other audio about it. And this is both VAs and scriptwriters, because I have talked with both, and everyone has been absolutely supportive, and I'm so honored to say that I talk to some of these people on the regular. I guess I'll just keep it a list for now. Maybe I will record a whole other audio. I don't know. That would be up to them. They would have to tell me if that was all right. I guess this is me wondering how much I can get away with professionally fangirling. So, for male VAs, my favorites are Nowhere Eternity, Average Anathema, This Guy Eli, The Huntsman, Murmuring, Rum and Coke, Hydrated Baritone, Forgotten Roads, Late Stage Infernalism, Holy Shittamoli, Torian Adift. Honestly, I could make a whole list and a whole rambling audio for each one of these VAs in regards to how much I enjoy them, why I enjoy the content that they make, and how they inspire me to get better as a VA myself. For female VAs, my favorites are Mimi Hung VO, The Kinky Kilt, Right Bit of Kit, The Red-Haired MILF, Wicked Fairy. Honestly, all of these performers and scriptwriters, a lot of these are scriptwriters as well. You should check them out anyway. Their stuff is just so good, and I repeatedly go back and listen to a lot of these. I'm like a little nervous saying all these names. Trying to be professional about the fact that we are audio porn makers. That's what we are. And we all are very good at what we do. And sometimes I fangirl a lot. And that's fine. So there are so many reasons why I picked them. From the sound of their voice to the content that they create to the fact that a lot of these VAs and scriptwriters aren't afraid to try new things. That's really what it comes down to, is the fact that I'm consistently inspired by all of these people for the fact that they will just try something new. And they're not afraid to step outside their comfort zone, and that's really inspirational for me. Sometimes when I start feeling stuck, I realize that they're out there doing the damn thing, and that's what I should be doing. My comfort zone lies to me a lot, so being inspired by the people I surround myself with, whether they know it or not, is really beneficial for me to continue on this path of being passionate about being the best VA that I can be. Okay. Is it weird knowing that there are a ton of guys out there getting off and getting messy to my audios? Not at all. Honestly, I encourage it. When it's boiled down, I make audio porn, and my goal is to get you off. If I'm not succeeding, then what am I doing? You know? Like, my main goal above all else is to make sure that you succeed in getting off. I mean, and also having a good time. I have a good time making it, and if you have a good time listening and you get off, then even better. That's the best outcome that I can hope for. And then hopefully in your post-orgasm haze, you either hit the update button or leave a comment so you know I enjoyed it. So I know you enjoyed it. So yeah. So I know you enjoyed it. And I'm a slut for feedback with a heavy praise kink. So when I put all of the effort into these audios, I want to hear that I did a good job. I guess I'm giving myself away. And if I didn't do a good job, I want to hear how I can improve, because I've only been doing this for 4 months. So I know there are areas of opportunity for me, and sometimes I get into a groove and I can't see them. So if you can constructively provide some feedback in regards to some audios that you think I can do better, I am willing to hear it. So don't be afraid to send me a message. My DMs are open, and we can have a Discord about it. We can have a conversation about it, because I am willing to accept feedback and criticism. As long as you're not mean about it. If you're mean about it, I'll probably cry. How do I choose a script to record, and what is my favorite concept? Okay. I don't want to say I'm picky when it comes to scripts, but I am a little bit. I'm an avid reader, and I've been writing my whole life, so when it comes to looking for scripts, I am looking for something that I can see. If I can't see it, I have a hard time recording it, and I've run into that a couple of times where I think I see it, and then I'm in the script, and either I'm looking for more direction, or it's just not hitting for me. And maybe I'll record it, and I'll set it aside, or I have a bank of things that I haven't posted because I am not sure about them, but I'm also looking for a certain level of grammar and syntax synergy, as well as plot flow. And if the writing is slightly more mature, I'll usually gravitate towards that. Maybe it's because I know that I'm recording a porn script, and I don't want it to sound like a porn script, if that makes sense. I don't know. I enjoy when scriptwriters put in sound effects or intention notes into their script specifically, because that helps me understand what their intention is from the jump, and that makes it much more of a treat for me to try and record and produce. I'm also mindful as a performer that every time I record a script, it's a collaboration between my voice and the scriptwriter's mind, and I take that very seriously. I want to make sure that the level of work that I'm putting out is what the writer intended to receive. I do my best to make sure that the writer listens to the script before I post it for several reasons. One, I want them to approve that my vision matches their vision, and two, if it doesn't, I want them to give me feedback so I can produce a quality of work that they can also be proud of. As far as my favorite concept is concerned, it's hard to say. The more I do this, the more I realize that I do adorkable or awkward very well. So anything that is awkward, girlfriend, adorable monster girl, nervous, shy, too insatiable is probably my favorite. I have a ton of experience in the awkward department, so it's pretty amazing that I can harness all of that experience and channel it into something that works for me. I think I enjoy performing F-sub audios more so than FDOM audios, considering my proclivities in the BDSM community, but Switch audios definitely do something for me as well. I think because of the range of dynamic that's necessary for the Switch aspect, I think that's why I like it. I mean, every dynamic has a lot of range, but I guess that makes sense. Okay, so now I will switch to specific questions by specific people, because this was a larger group of people with a lot more questions, so we'll see how we get. So first up, Fishy, please forgive me if I am mispronouncing your Reddit name. You asked a few questions, so I'm just going to go in order. Thank you so much for taking the time to ask these. I'm so thankful that you asked more than one question. So, your first question is the favorite child question. I know you said you didn't want to ask and you asked anyways, but I appreciate the question because it forced me to think critically about all of my audios. So, I know I can't say all of them. That's cheating. But I'll do my best to pick. Every time I do a new audio, I tend to be most proud of the newest one because 9 times out of 10, I've improved on something that I've learned from the last audios. And recently, I've been leaning really heavily into improving my audio quality, which has been very important to me. And that has included purchasing a cloud lifter for my microphone so I can fix the gain problems that I've been having from having to crank it up so high, and improving my detail-specific work when it comes to special effects, because immersion is something that I really would love to improve on, because that really is what sets apart a lot of the audios that I listen to, and I aspire to get to the levels that I admire, if that makes sense. I would probably say Snap Judgment. The girlfriend's first time trying to be dominant yields a few snags is probably one of the audios I'm most proud of by JJ Brophy. The level of special effects in that was really important to me as far as immersion goes, and it really showed me just how crucial that part is. Like, if you were to take out the special effects in that audio, I doubt it would be as effective as it is. It is one of my more popular audios, and I like to think that's why, is because the level of immersion is so high. Also, I spent a lot more time on it than I probably should have. And I think the effort really shows in that as well. So I would say, yeah, that would probably be, I don't know. It's kind of like my flavor of the week, depending on what I'm thinking about, reasons why I've picked things. But yeah, that's probably it. My most challenging audio, part of the favorite child question. So the actual question was, which of my audios am I most proud of, which I just answered, and was there one that was particularly challenging for me? So my most challenging audio was my self-collab, Elixia, Demonic Goddess of Lust by Soupy Sounds. So this is the first rape script that I did. So if you want to skip ahead a few minutes, I completely understand. I don't go into it too much, but I do talk about rape a little bit. So this is the first rape script that I had done. So of course, instead of making it easy on myself and doing a single voice script, I had to pick something that had two voices, both a dominant and a submissive sort of voice, where I had to play the demonic lust goddess and also I had to play the rape victim. I wanted to push the limits for myself to see how far I could go into how dark I was willing to go, because I have a lot of dark fantasies and I feel like they become a little bit more real once you're acting them out, regardless of what they are. And I actually got nervous that no one would want to listen to it because to me, it sounded too real. And I think that's why I enjoy it as much as I do. It goes without saying that I don't condone any of this behavior in real life, but obviously, but it also inspired me to write sort of an aftercare type audio, which honestly could be a whole other recording in and of itself. But what it boils down to is that this particular script forced me to examine the limits of audio porn in a way that I had not prior to that. And it's helped me really understand the impact that I have with my audios as a whole, because audio porn is a lot more immersive. It's a lot more personal than regular porn, mainstream porn, sort of. Because of the immersive way that a lot of scripts are written, you insert yourself into this scene, which is different than if you're watching it. If you're watching it, you have this clear-cut understanding of, I'm watching a porn. This is not me. But when you're listening to it, and especially when a particular VA goes above and beyond their acting abilities or their special effects to make it as immersive as it is, your brain processes that information differently. So again, that goes back to the aftercare type audio that I wrote, and why I may or may not feel like it was completely necessary, but I did it anyway. So yeah, I would say that was probably my most challenging one for sure. Is there a style or subject or premise that I'd like to do but haven't done yet? That's a really good question. I honestly don't know. Before I got into doing this, I flirted with the idea of doing audiobooks. And before that, I had a podcast that was passion-filled but short-lived, and recording longer of format audios is something I really enjoy. I am a tension fiend, so any way that I can build up tension over time is something I really enjoy, and a lot of the scripts I pick are very short because they're meant to be consumed quickly, and I understand that. I know that there are a lot of scripts out there surrounding baking, or maybe that's just what I've been seeing recently, but I love the concept of like a cute, kind of subby, awkward, baking themed audio. Something sweet, awkward, taut kind of, I don't know, that seems like something I would probably insta record, something I would clear my whole day for, so. If I wasn't making audio smut, what would I be making? I'd say I'd definitely still be recording. Probably doing more podcasting stuff or getting into voiceover work somehow. I just flat out love recording. I love voice acting in a way that I never thought of, which is insane considering my vocal history. Which I will give you right now, because that explains why I said that. So I grew up wanting to be a chorus teacher. I spent almost a decade taking professional voice lessons and singing in every single group that I could get my hands on. But in theater, I was a hardcore techie. I focused all my efforts into lighting design, and without even thinking of becoming an actor or taking acting classes or anything, I guess I should have paid more attention to that when I was younger, considering what I'm doing now, but I'd love to find a way to do voiceover work full time. Honestly, I would love to just do voiceover work for animation. That would really be a dream goal. That's a dream goal of mine. Maybe one day I'll get back into podcasting. I really miss it. I am hesitant to tell any of you what the podcast was about because it was very, very rough around the edges. The concept was good, and maybe when I go back and do a second season, maybe I'll share the second season with you guys. But that was like where I started, so just the concept of being in front of a microphone is like a dream for me. Your last question. Favorite baked good. Now, okay, so this is very difficult for me because I'm a slut for carbs in general. Breads, pastas, cookies, muffins, pancakes, literally anything with carbs in it, I am completely and 100% into, which is a problem because I really like carbs. I also need to balance that out by liking working out enough to counteract the amount of carbs I'm eating. So I will try and break it down. So my first inclination to answer you is I am a slut for good bread, especially if it has stuff in it or if it's an exceptional sourdough, like stuff like herbs and spices or nuts. There was a sunflower seed bread I had once, and I have yet to find it again, but it blew my mind. It was just, there was something so different. The flavor profile was a lot different. I'm not quite sure what they did to it, but it wasn't like, I don't usually like walnuts in my bread or, that's a lie, depending on what it is. Or like I'll gravitate towards like a good garlic and rosemary loaf, whatever type of bread it is. If it has like extra shit in it, I'm fucking in. Just sign me up, put it in front of me and it will completely disappear. on the flip side of that, when it comes to sweet things, I will literally kill someone for a good chocolate chip cookie. I'm not gonna lie. I will also maim someone for a good shortbread cookie. There is something about the butteriness of a shortbread cookie, which kind of reminds me of a croissant, mainly because butter, question mark. Maybe I'm figuring out that I really like butter with my carbs. Anyways, a good chocolate chip cookie is unbeatable, especially if they use bittersweet chocolate or dark chocolate to counteract the sweetness of the actual cookie batter itself. I tend to lean towards baked goods that aren't as sweet. Even with donuts, for example, I prefer like a home cut or a home style donut to something that's like covered in sprinkles or glaze. Maybe it's because I don't like the overload of sugar and I just like the donut. I don't know. Maybe that's like a whole thing I need to explore. Mr. Tinkles. You gave me quite the list. And some of these are silly and I love them. So I'll start with the more specific questions and I will get to the sillier ones after. So what GWA tags am I most drawn towards and which do I wish there were more of? I am drawn to anything that's unique first. Something that isn't like a lot of the content that's out there. I see a lot of the same content more or less, and that's great because honestly there are popular porn tags for a reason. But I like finding ones that are a little bit more unique, like the shopkeeper audio that I chose as my first audio. I hadn't seen a lot of scripts like that and that's why I picked it. Anything that is shy, adorable, nervous, quiet type, I'll usually click on and read. I also really enjoy ones with humor in them or satire. Basically, if I laugh while I'm reading it, I'll probably enjoy recording it. What do I wish there were more of? That's really hard to say because the script market is very saturated, so it seems like everything is pretty much covered. If I find that I'm looking for something, maybe I'll let you know and you can tell me. Maybe we can put our brains together and find something. I don't know. Do I fap to audios, or do I just listen to them purely for intellectual purposes? This is an excellent question. I feel like I'm about to blow a lot of people's minds, but I don't get off to audios, mostly. I feel like I'm being called out, actually, with this question, because I do listen for, I wouldn't say I listen for intellectual purposes, but I guess I love the endorphin dump that comes with listening. Murmuring put out an audio in regards to listening in public, saying that it's naughty to listen in public, which it is, and I'm totally into it. So one of the things that I enjoyed was the fact that I can't do anything about it, and maybe that's why I like listening without fapping. So the finished part of this question is, do you fap to audios or do you just listen to them for purely intellectual purposes? If it's the latter, do you do it while cosplaying as Gordon Ramsay and criticizing things you dislike about the audio? So I don't criticize a lot of audios, mostly because I recognize this is an art form, and if I don't particularly enjoy something, I just move on. I don't take it as a personal attack, or I don't take it as a judgment for that particular VA or that particular script. It's just not my thing, and that's okay. But no, I don't fap to audios. I get exceptionally wet listening to them, and maybe I should try getting off to them. Most of the times I don't have the time. Most of the times I'm usually at work. I work in a shop, usually alone, and listening to audios helps me pass the time. And I don't know. I think that's it. I think that's kind of like, yeah, maybe I should try. Maybe I'll try and I'll let you know. let's see. If your partner doesn't feel like playing along with your sexy fantasies, would you rather just politely agree and drop it, or would you wake them up in the middle of the night by hopping on top of them and declaring, "I'm the daddy now"? Okay. So, consent to me is paramount. I have a lot of sexual fantasies, and I recognize that that's not always something my partner is going to be into. I can try and diplomatically explain my point of view to see if that's just something that they just don't understand, or if it's something they're not willing to do, which is completely fine, but I like to explore what that level is. But if they're not into it, they're not into it. That's okay. I definitely would not wake them up in the middle of the night by hopping on top of them and saying, "I'm the daddy now," mostly because, as fun as that is, that violates their consent if that's something that they did not want or have expressed that that's not something they want. So I would probably say I'd be in the former category. I'd rather just politely agree and drop it after a good conversation about it. I guess that's the caveat, is there would need to be a conversation about it before anything happens, because there's nothing worse than surprising somebody with something you like, not realizing that it may trigger them or not be something they're into, and then the mood's ruined, and then you order a pizza, and then you move on. So yeah. I'm going to skip over some of these. I'm going to record an audio for you specifically for the rest of these, but there's a lot of questions, so. If I gain the ability to summon one supernatural creature, succubus, incubus, zombies, tentacle monster, and I can use this ability over and over again, what do I summon for naughty purposes? If you think I'm going to pick anything but an incubus, you're wrong. And I'll explain why. First of all, or a succubus, I'd take both. But I would say that I would pick a demon that is specifically designed for sexual pleasure. Full stop. Full sentence. So zombies are cool. They don't need air. They don't need anything really. If they bite, maybe if you're into biting, I can see that. Tentacle Monster did definitely give me a second take because I love hentai. I love tentacle hentai. So that definitely made me pause, but in regards to specifically choosing a supernatural creature, I would pick one that was specifically designed for sexual pleasure. Let's see. What is your favorite sexual fantasy that you've never been able to fulfill yet? I have a list. I have a bucket list. I'm not really sure if I can confess a lot of the things that I want to do here, but just know that I have a list that it has yet to be fulfilled. So, thank you so much for your questions. I swear I will answer all of them to you specifically. GED Audio, you gave me two questions, I believe. So, okay, yeah. So, you gave me two questions. The first one is Santa Claus, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, Shag, Mary, Throw Off a Cliff. So, I really gave this some thought. I've been spending the last couple of days thinking about it since you submitted this question. So, Easter Bunny, Shag, for obvious reasons. I feel like that goes without saying. If I'm going to be satisfied, I'm going to pick the bunny. Because why would I pick anything else? I would marry Santa Claus because, hello, he's one, he's immortal. Two, he's got a whole operation at the North Pole, hello. And winter's my favorite holiday, so my favorite holiday. Winter's my favorite season. I guess you can consider it a holiday. Anyways, winter is my favorite season, so to be in permanent winter would be ideal. And I would throw the Tooth Fairy off a cliff because bone fairies are terrifying. No thanks. That's some bad juju I don't need. So that's my answer for that. and the second question you asked me is, how many cocks would a succubus suck? Oh my god. How many cucks would a succubus suck if a succubus could suck cucks? Fuck, that's so good. I'm gonna start using that. I don't do well with tongue twisters, and that was really difficult for me. So the short answer is an endless amount, I guess. At least five, I don't know. I feel like if you're a succubus, it's kind of your job. So I would say infinity, but at least five. Okay, let's see what's next. Taurian. All right. Let's see. What do you have for me? What do I wish I could be doing with my life if money wasn't a factor? That's a deep question. That is a deep, deep question. So I would probably still be recording. I'd be probably putting more effort into recording if money wasn't a factor, because I do have a full-time job that I run outside of recording, and I spend way too much time making content. Way too much time. I do ignore a lot of other things in my life sometimes for this. I would love to travel. I wish that I could travel a lot if money wasn't a factor. Yeah. Which country did I love visiting most, or which country would I love to visit most? So I have not done a lot of traveling in my life, and I have never left the country. So I'm based out of the US, and I have never left the country. That is mostly due to life and being what it is. I would love to go to Europe. I would love to go to Europe. I would love to go to England and France. I'd love to spend some time in Italy and Greece. And I would love to see, Turkey. I just love a lot of Indian food, so I'd love to go to India. and also Tokyo. I would love to go to Japan because I am a gigantic, gigantic nerd for Japanese culture. So that's probably my bucket list once we're allowed to travel again. And also I have money, which I don't have a lot of right now. Maybe if I become a good enough voice actor and I decide, or somebody decides they want to pay me to do this, even better, maybe that'll be how I do it. Maybe that'll be how I explore the world. Let's see. What is the naughtiest place I've ever had sex? I've never had sex in public. I would love to. That's on my list. That's on my list of things to do. I think the idea of doing stuff in public is very hot. Either if it's discreet or subtle. For example, having like a vibrating panty toy or something inserted that my partner has control over and we have to go out and have like a nice dinner. That's kind of like tippity top of the public chain, public fantasy chain, or sneaking off into a bathroom and having sex, or down an alleyway in a city. I guess I'm just not picky. I just like sex. I guess. I'm not shy. I am an exhibitionist, so, which makes sense considering I make porn, so that the risk or the concept of getting caught is very attractive to me. What are the top three fantasy scenarios I keep going back to get off? That's a dangerous question. And I'm not really sure that I can tell you, because if I tell you, I'm afraid that it will change. It's kind of like when you make a wish. You can't tell anybody the wish or else the wish won't come true. So I hate to disappoint you, but I'm afraid I can't tell you. What is the best sex I've ever had? So I've had a lot of sex in my life. That's a difficult question. The best sex. I guess the bar is set really high because I like it so much, so it's hard for me to pinpoint exactly what the best would be. I would say probably, this is a long time ago, I had a partner who, I was at a party, we were at a party, and I had gone to the bathroom to touch on my makeup, and he followed me in the bathroom, and came in, closed the door, instructed me to be quiet, and then basically fucked me against the sink until I came screaming into his hand. That's probably the best scenario I've had, mostly because it plays into all of the things that I really enjoy. Public, getting caught, the risk of getting caught, hold the moans. Those are some of my favorite fantasies, so give you an idea of what I enjoy for my top three fantasy scenarios. Again, I can't give it away, otherwise it won't be true. But yeah, so that's probably the, I don't know, top memory that I can think of. I guess that's some really good questions. I'm so thankful that you guys asked these questions. Because, like, I don't know, it would be different if I was just to record an audio of, like, me telling you about myself. But now I get to give you insight as to who I am. I think my last question is from Dallas Wonderland. Thank you so much for your question. We're going out on our first date. What do I wear for dinner? Someplace nice. And do I plan on you seeing what's under my outfit? I don't know. That depends on where we're going. Yeah, I guess that depends on where we're going. So I would say, if we're going somewhere nice, then it has to be a dress, because I love a good LBD. A little black dress, some heels, probably do my hair. I'm pretty good at doing my makeup right now, so I probably end up showing up like a smoke show. And if I'm going to wear a nice LBD, then obviously I'm going to plan on wearing something nice underneath. And it has to be matching, because I normally don't match anything. Or wear anything, to be fair. But if I'm going out, I do want to. There's something about wearing a nice bra and panty set underneath the outfit. Whether or not my partner is going to see it is another thing, but it's the concept of knowing that I'm wearing something super lacy or not very covering or risque, I guess is the best way to explain it. That just gives me so much confidence with the rest of my everything. So yeah, so I guess, do I plan on you seeing what's underneath? I guess that depends on where we go. So you'll have to let me know where we're going, and I will let you know if you get to see what's underneath. So that's it. That's all my questions. We're topping out at somewhere between 45 and 50 minutes. So if you have stuck with me this long, thank you so much for listening. I hope it was entertaining. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of your questions. They honestly mean so much to me, and thank you so much for your support. I wish there was something stronger than thanks and gratitude, because that's really what I have. I am literally nothing without the people that follow me. So thank you so much for being in my little corner of the internet and following me and supporting all the content that I make. And I hope that you continue to enjoy this stuff that I do, because I'm not stopping. Like I said in the beginning of the audio, this is a buffet and I'm permanently hungry. So I hope that you're going to stay hungry with me.